tell you love to hate.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, motherfucker.
I'm angry. What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches. USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet.
Oh, Lord.
Nah, he's not going to have it.
You know, guess what day it is. Guess what day it is.
Literally.
I ain't got my headphones on.
It was gay. It was at it.
It was a little off.
He said, guess what day? Hump day was a little off.
All right.
Damn it, man.
Oh, man.
He almost had it.
Eddie
knew. He'll get it.
He almost had it. He was there. He was prepared.
He threw the alley.
Yeah, he threw the alley. Just threw it way too early.
He threw it a little too early.
You ain't even jump yet. You ain't even jump yet.
We get it next time.
Well, I'm excited today.
Why?
You know, I started a book club, so I got these. My first book is Taraji P. Henson's Around the Way Girl. It's her memoirs.
Okay.
And I got my autograph books that I'm giving away for people in the book club.
You signed it yourself?
No, Taraji signed it.
Why the hell would Angela?
Why would I sign Taraji's book?
Autograph books? She didn't say she signed it.
Got these autograph books.
Oh, can
why
I have
would
one?
I get them? If
can I have
I...
one?
No, you didn't join the book club. It's not for you.
You don't even read.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't even read it.
And you're the type to listen to an audio book, but then put your headphones on and listen to your music at the same time.
Sounds like me.
Here's another good book, Green Smoothies for Life.
I'll read that one. That's like green eggs in there.
Oh, my God. All right. I've been sitting on Taraji's book for a long time, by the way. I've been meant to read that.
Oh, I read it already. It's good. I love the story that she tells, because you don't know, like, how did Taraji P. Henson get into the career that she's into. Mm-hmm. How did it all go down? All the struggles that she went through to get there. It's a great read. She talks about having a son and her son's father who was killed. She talks about her relationship with her dad. And
sounds interesting.
She talks about how she ended up in the Malcolm X movie as well, which a lot of people probably didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she probably was like 6.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, was she in the Malcolm X movie?
She was like a teenager.
In college?
Yeah, she was going to college.
She told us that story. How she drove down there crazy and all that.
She told us.
Oh, how do we hear this story?
I told you.
Oh, you told us this story.
I know, never been here.
I know somebody told us that story.
I told you guys from the book. After right. I thought it was very inspirational what she went through.
I'd be forgetting Taraji and OG.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, last night was our Christmas holiday party, which seemed like it was extremely early this year.
Good. We old, okay?
We got it
and
out
plus,
the way.
I have like 20 of them to go to next week. I'm glad we got ours out of the way.
I like early parties. I like when a party starts at 6, 7.
It was also a goodbye party to our producer, Q, who's been with us for 6 years. He is leaving.
Boo!
Now, I posted a picture with Q. Q and I have never, ever taken a picture before.
Mm.
And I got some interesting comments because I said, you know, we're saying goodbye to our longtime producer who's been with us since we started. He's been at iHeart for 15 years.
Right.
And one person thought that he was just Envy's friend.
Oh, you thought I was just friend all the time.
Just sits next to him in the cut all the time.
True. Envy Shooter. If anybody needed somebody to be sitting behind him in the cut, it would be me on this show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, I said that he's leaving to pursue his passion.
Which is Chick-fil-A. He's going to open up a Chick-fil-A, ladies and gentlemen. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Q and his Chick-fil-A that he's opening.
Now, one person says, something don't sound right. That don't sound like no good reason.
His passion is not a good reason.
What he went to school for and to follow his passion after 15 years is not a good reason.
His passion is cooking.
Right.
Culinary arts.
He's
a... Even though
what do you
never
call
bought,
it when you're a chef? You're certified? Licensed?
He's never bought one dish in here ever in the 6 years that we've been on the air. I think it was 6 years this week for the Breakfast Club.
Now, you don't even know what...
Drop on a clue bomb for the Breakfast
yesterday.
Club being on for 6 years, damn it.
You don't even know what Q is leaving to do, though.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you keep saying he's not doing anything with cooking. He's going to be helping people with their diet. So,
by the way,
if you have diabetes, he's going to tell you what you need to eat.
He's a nutritional consultant.
Yeah, plant-based diet. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, because, you know, yesterday at the holiday party, I was hating when everybody was like, you know, congratulations to Q. He's going on the Big and Better Things. I'm like, what is he doing? We don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, well, that's what he's doing.
That is what he's
going to help people, saving lives.
All right. God bless Q.
And he cried yesterday, too, during the...
He said he lost his voice.
No, he started
crying.
He started choking up. We did this nice video for him. He started crying and choking up.
All right. Trevor Noah's going to be here this morning.
Trevor Noah will be joining us this morning.
My fellow Uncle Tom, my fellow Coon.
Yeah, you need him today,
boy. What happened yesterday? They were coming for you. What's wrong with your man?
Let's be clear about one thing. I don't never need nobody. That's number one.
You don't need Trevor?
Okay.
Why were they coming for you?
Because I tweeted out that it'd be dope if women of color created a platform to control their narratives and have a voice like Tommy Lauren.
And some women feel like a lot of us have.
Okay, so how do we empower them? That's my next thing.
I mean, a lot of women are empowered.
No, how do we? I want to empower them to make them big. That's all I'm saying.
That man's a troll, boy.
How's that trolling?
Well, let's get the show popping. Front page news.
How is that trolling?
What are we talking about? Front page news.
Oh, let's talk about the arrest of the man Ronald Gasser who killed the ex-NFL player Joe McKnight. A lot of people were upset that this man walked out of jail and thought there was going to be no charges. Well, now he has been arrested, and the sheriff is talking about why was there a delay in arresting him.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Why am I on the front page of Twitter this morning? Jesus Christ, I didn't even know that could happen.
Let's get into some front page news. Now, I know this is not right. You say it says tonight in the NFL they play on Wednesday?
Eddie, there's no Wednesday night. Eddie, there's no Wednesday night football. Eddie,
oh, my goodness.
Eddie.
Even Envy knew that wasn't
Eddie.
Right. Normally, Envy would just read it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
Envy got a question.
Eddie, there's no Wednesday night football. It's Monday, Thursday, and Sunday.
All right. Well, tomorrow, the Oakland Raiders play the Kansas City Chiefs. Good luck tomorrow. All right, now let's talk about the update with the Joe McKnight case.
Right. So they did finally arrest and charge Ronald Gasser, the man who was accused of shooting and killing former NFL player Joe McKnight. They charged him with manslaughter, and this just happened on Monday. Everybody was very upset because they're like, why is he walking out of jail after we have video footage of him shooting and killing a man? We have witnesses who said the man was Joe McKnight was apologizing to Gasser at that time, and he stood above him and shot and killed him. Well, according to the sheriff is saying that there were statements that they got only from Ronald Gasser. Those are the only statements that they had received, and they said that he was in fear because of McKnight making threatening statements and otherwise, and that's why that was the only statement they had. They had to release him. They thought it was best that an arrest not be made for strategic reasons until we could get other witnesses. So he said they finally collectively came together and decided that they were prepared to draft an arrest warrant for his arrest.
Not to throw race in it, but if he would have been black, they wouldn't have let him go. That's just how I feel. They definitely wouldn't have let him go. They'd have found all the details that night, and they definitely would have been charging him. I have never seen him let anybody go like that.
Right, it was a verbal altercation, and Gasser did pull out his weapon and fired 3 shots. I don't think a verbal altercation is ever a reason to feel like you have to shoot and kill someone who has no gun or anything, but we shall see what happens. I think the pressure is probably what really made them arrest him.
Now let's talk about Dylann Roof.
All right. Well, the trial is ready to begin for the Charleston church shooting suspect, Dylann Roof. He's 22 years old, and he is the person who is responsible for killing 9 people in a church last year in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, the opening arguments in this case are expected to start today, actually.
Good, because I can't wait till Dylann Roof gets convicted, because I've already promised the city we're going to do a big-ass fish fry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I want a DJ.
We're going to do a big-ass fish fry in 843 when he gets convicted.
This was over a year ago, and he went into that church with the intent of killing African-Americans.
And I know y'all saw the mistrial that happened in the Walter Scott case. That's not going to happen with Dylann Roof.
Hope not.
All right? You don't even got to worry about that there.
All right, well, that's front page news. And tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad morning, bad night. Maybe you had a long night. Whatever it may be, phone lines are wide open, 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. Tell them why you're mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey, yo, this is a mad rapper. Good morning, yo, for real. I'm going to tell you why I'm mad. For real, man. Hey, yo, my girl keep coming home smelling like Polo Cologne. So, like, that ain't for girls. Like, I know something's going on, for real. Like, I'm heated about that. And now I need y'all to tell me why y'all mad. Why you mad? On The Breakfast Club, for real.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Michaela from Florida.
Hey, Michaela, tell them why you're mad.
I am so mad at Charlamagne. Look, I'm usually never mad at Charlamagne because he always says some, like, off-the-wall crazy stuff. But the fact that he even compared and wants anybody to be like Tommy Lauren is just crazy. Like, you were the one that said that she was using her platform to pretty much put out there about the Black Lives Matter movement, but then you want somebody to be like her?
I never said I want somebody to be like her. I said that we should create.
You said you want us to use. Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. You said you wanted us to use our platforms like her. So you want us to go around talking about stuff we know nothing about.
No, that's not what I said, baby. I said we need to create. I said we need to create a platform. I said we need to create platforms so we can control our narratives and have a voice like Tommy Lauren.
Why would, I mean, of all people, though, of all the people that are on TV that are also creating better narratives for black people, why did you feel like you had to compare black and Latina woke females to her?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a simple question. Is that little white girl not popping right now?
She is.
So I want a woman of color. I want a woman of color to be popping just like that.
Okay, but you want us to be. But do you want us to be popping for the same reasons why she is?
No, I never said that. I said platform. I didn't say nothing about her.
Well, I think a lot of people look at Tommy Lauren as the boogeyman. So when you say her name, automatic they don't.
It's a buzzword, exactly.
And I think that there are black women who have powerful platforms.
So how do we empower them? No.
I mean, Shonda Rhimes is very powerful.
No, Shonda.
Ava DuVernay always speaks out. She produces movies.
They are, but I specifically said young women of color with an online news platform, not directors and writers. We know Ava is a beast. Salute to Ava. Shonda's a beast. Young women of color with an online news platform to tell our truths and control our narratives.
But Tommy didn't start the Blaze Network that she's on, right? Wasn't she tapped to do
No,
a
but
show
you know
there?
What Tommy did do? Tommy, first of all, nobody watches the Blaze. Let's be clear on that. Mm-hmm. And if you go to try to watch her content online, you have to pay for it. What Tommy did was start taking clips of her shows and putting them up on her Facebook page. Her Facebook is what blew her up. She gets hundreds of millions of views on Facebook. So when I'm telling these sisters to use social media platforms, that's what I mean. And I'm not talking about tweeting and Tumblr. I'm talking about, let's create an online news network like the Young Turks. Or these, I seen an organization out of Houston yesterday. I wrote their name down so I could shout them out. I'll shout them out later. They're a black online news network. Let's create an online news network and use this power we have on social media to blow it up.
So the problem isn't that these women don't have these social media platforms, it's that we don't blow them up.
Well, it was two things. First, I put out the comment that, you know, I want women of color to have these platforms. Then I got informed that it is women of color that have these platforms. So if they are, let's blow them up. Well, let's discuss them. It's not that they don't exist.
It's that we don't. Let's discuss this. Let's bring them on the Breakfast Club.
Let's put them on Baller Alert. Let's throw them on World Star. Like, and let white people get mad at them so we can come and defend them the same way it happens with everybody else.
Let's have that conversation a little bit later. Trevor Noah is coming up. We'll talk to him in a little bit. And also, we got the rumors coming up in a little bit. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Started her platforms, and she actually raised money for Alton Sterling, and she did that whole GoFundMe.
No
for
doubt,
him.
But Issa,
and she got her own show on HBO from going on YouTube and having her own series.
Absolutely, and that proves my point. We need an online news network, and we need somebody that's on there talking about issues that affect us and is controlling our narrative.
Right.
Period.
So it's not that these women don't have platforms and aren't trying to promote what they're promoting and aren't socially aware. You're saying that we don't have a platform for these women because Tommy Lauren didn't create that platform. But
she didn't create the platform, but she took it to another level by using Facebook. She got on the Blaze, was spitting those crazy narratives, and she used her Facebook page to blow up her content. Period. Who watches the Blaze? Nobody watches the damn Blaze.
I just feel like sometimes for black women, we have it hard because if you talk so aggressively and crazily, people don't give you that platform.
We got to stop worrying about that because for the next 4 years, we're going to have... You know that girl's going to be on a Riley Factor tonight? Tommy Lauren is going to be on Bill O'Reilly tonight. So we can't worry about talking aggressively. We need somebody that can talk aggressively. We need somebody radical. And I'm not saying you got to be jumping out the window with false narratives. Jump out the window with truth.
Right.
The truth
because
is more...
she definitely puts out some false narratives out there.
But the truth will be way more impactful than any false narrative she puts out there. Because guess what? Black people don't have to lie about the oppression that they faced in America. They don't have to lie about white supremacy. All we got to just do is tell the truth about it. And we can create a spark.
Right.
Period.
I just feel like I do follow a lot of powerful black women who make all kinds of political statements.
Well, shout them out,
My girl, Valisha Butterfield Jones, who actually used to work for Russell Simmons. Then she worked for Barack Obama. Now she works at Google.
I think y'all are taking this somewhere. We know that it's powerful.
No,
black
women.
I'm
the way that you phrase that.
Specifically saying online news networks. We need an online media news personality. That's what women of color need.
Because
women of color voice resonates different than everybody else. I don't care. Women's voice, women period's voice resonates different than everybody else. we need a woman of color representing for our narratives in that online news space.
I think the misunderstanding is that what we're saying is we need to support these women and help them create larger platforms, yeah, just like they support Tommy Lahren, the people that follow her. That's really what it is. It's not that these women aren't existing and don't use their platforms. It's that we're not supporting
them. And for the ones that exist, let's empower them. That's it. Let's big them up. Let's bring them on Breakfast Club. Let's put them on Baller Alert. Let's blow them up the same way Tommy Lahren's blowing up right now. That's all I'm saying.
Well, guys, these rumors, what are we coming up in the rumors? Ooh. What are we talking about?
Let's talk about the Grammy nominations, because right before we were leaving yesterday, the Grammy nominations came out, and we didn't really get into it because it just happened. So now let's get more serious about that and talk about the most nominated and all types of records that were broken with this Grammys.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I ain't sorry.
Hell nah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV. He's so mean and nasty, you big black troll over there.
All right.
Wow.
Gosh.
I'm forever the bad guy.
You're so angry.
I know.
Angry. Oh, my gosh. Stop it.
Okay. Shut the hell up.
Stop it. Oh, my gosh. Why are you so abusive?
God. Oh, now I'm abusive? All right.
Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk the Grammys.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, no. All right.
Rumor report. This is the rumor.
You guys
report.
Don't play fair.
Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, congratulations to our girl, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
None of us really know her personally, but she did get 9 Grammy nominations, and she also made history. She's the most nominated woman in Grammy history with 62 nominations total. Wow.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Beyonce. Y'all know I'm a Pinkett Swift, Winfrey Knowles Carter. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't know her personally.
I know her.
That you talking
That's
about.
That's your mom, right?
Sister.
That's still our girl, though.
It's a sister.
No matter what. Now, Drake and Rihanna each got 8 nominations, and Chance the Rapper got 7 nominations for Coloring Book. That was his stream-only album. So let's talk about some of these nominations and who got nominated. Also, Designer got a nomination. Check out his reaction.
You got nominated for a Grammy.
You just gonna play his reaction without no subtitles or nothing?
Nope.
I don't know exactly what he said.
You think people know what he just said? He said, big up to Brooklyn. That was big
up to
Brooklyn.
That is not what
he said. He did not say big up to Brooklyn. Nothing about Brooklyn.
Well, he's nominated for Best Rap Performance for Panda. Also, Anderson .Paak got nominated and alongside Chance the Rapper. And Drom and Yachty are up for Best Rap and Song Performance for Broccoli. So
Yachty's nominated for a Grammy?
Yes.
Drop on the Clues Bombs for Lil Yachty.
For Lil Boat.
Right. Drop on the Clues Bombs for Drom, too, damn it. That mumble music is popping out here in these streets. That melodic mumbling is winning.
All right, now let's discuss Album of the Year. Who do you think should get it? There's Beyonce for Lemonade, Justin Bieber, Purpose, Drake with Views, Adele with 25, and Sturgill Simpson, who I don't know.
Beyonce and Lemonade, not even close.
Yeah, but you didn't even listen to all those other albums.
I heard everybody except for
Sturgill.
Sturgill, I don't know who that is.
Sturgill might be amazing.
He might be.
Banging.
I ain't never heard of him.
All right, best rap song. Fat Joe and Remy Ma featuring French Montana, Infrared All the Way Up, Kanye featuring Rihanna, Famous, Drake for Hotline Bling, Chance featuring Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz, No Problem, and Kanye West featuring Chance, Kelly Price, Kirk Franklin, and The Dream, Ultralight Beam.
Who I want to win or who is going to win? Who I want to win would be Fat Joe.
I want Fat Joe to win. Yeah, me too.
Who do you think is going to win?
I think Kanye, the Ultralight Beam.
I was thinking...
maybe Chance. Chance got a good chance. No Problem is a big
Chance
tune.
Got a chance.
Yeah, that's a big tune.
All right, best rap album. Chance the Rapper, Coloring Book, De La Soul, and the Anonymous Nobody. DJ Khaled, Major Key, Drake for his Views album, Schoolboy Q, Blankface LP, or Kanye the Life of Pablo.
Kanye the Life of Pablo. That's still my favorite rap album of the year. Chance the Rapper, Coloring Book is my second
Chance
favorite rap
dope.
Album of the year.
I think Kanye dope. I want Khaled doing it. I just want Khaled doing it.
Kanye Life of Pablo was very slept on. The reason Kanye Life of Pablo was slept on was because of all of Kanye's antics outside of music. He's damn near bigger than his music at this point, but that album was amazing.
And the last thing I'm going to ask y'all about is best R&B album, okay?
Mm-hmm.
BJ the Chicago Kid, in my mind, Layla Hathaway Live, Terrace Martin, Velvet Portraits, Mint Condition, Healing Season, and Maya, Smooth Jones.
Maya?
Yes.
Maya,
that was
Maya?
Everybody's reaction online.
Maya put out an album?
Yes.
Maya?
Really? Pretty Little Maya, like a little sexy Keep Love?
From Baltimore, D.C., Maya?
Yes.
One really? From that was in Cisco video back in the day?
So which one of those people?
I ain't hear none of those albums. Well, I heard BJ. BJ was dope, but yeah. I haven't heard nothing.
Yeah, I like Terrace Martin, too.
Maya?
I'm going to have to get Maya's album.
I'm going to go listen to Maya's album.
You sure that's Maya?
Yes, I'm positive. All
right. Did you Google?
I'm 100% positive it's Maya.
Okay.
How's it spelled?
M-Y-A.
Could be M-I-A. I don't believe that. Maya.
It's not M-I-A. Okay. Anyway, I'm Angela Yee.
I thought Maya was doing club hosting for $500. I didn't know she was getting
that was
music that was nominated for Grammys.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Maya.
Yes. Congratulations to everybody who was nominated. A lot of people were excited. I saw Drum's reaction. Anderson .Paak said he woke up and to the good news. He's a Grammy. Imagine being a Grammy nominated
artist. What about they ain't nominate Malibu for Best R&B album? Anderson .Paak.
Hmm. Well, he was nominated, though, so.
All right.
Congratulations to all of them. I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have Trevor Noah. He'll be joining us. We'll chop it up with him, so don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Bryson Tiller with Don't Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My fellow coon.
Trevor Noah.
We're both Uncle Toms.
Is that what we are
this
now?
Yes, that's what they are. This week we are.
Oh, that's nice.
This week you guys are.
Because of meeting with Miss Tommy Lauren.
That's nice.
Now, I'm going to be honest, Trevor. I was insulted when... I can take it, but I was insulted when they was coming at you.
Why were you insulted for me more than yourself?
Because you grew up in South Africa during apartheid.
Yes.
First of all, this may sound crazy. Explain to the people what apartheid is.
Well, I mean...
Are you going to take my question just like that?
It's crazy. Was that Envy's question?
Yeah. Explain apartheid.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'll explain it to you, Envy. I'll explain. No, I mean, I feel like everyone should know this, but apartheid was basically a system of laws in South Africa, a system of laws that were designed to oppress people of color and all people of color. Mm-hmm. Apartheid made it illegal for black and white people to interact with one another, my parents included. You know, at the time when they were a couple, it was against the law. Me being born was against the law.
It's a crime for him to be here.
Yeah, my dad couldn't be on my birth certificate. My parents couldn't have me on the... Like, you had to have a registry of all the people that lived in your house at the time. My grandmother couldn't have that in her house. But I think most importantly, the thing a lot of people don't realize is apartheid essentially was perfect racism. Like, I'm still learning about how perfect the system was in terms of... Like, they went around the world. The government actually set up a commission to go around the world and study racism. And America was one of the places they came. They went to Australia, they went to the Netherlands, they came to America, and they were like, what is the racism here? How does the state oppress people of color? What can we use from the system to take home? And they did that. They went to South Africa, and they made the most perfect racism ever. And that is the world I lived through. I'm lucky because, you know, I was 6 years old when it was officially ended. I mean, but as anyone knows, when officially a thing ends, it doesn't mean it goes away. Mm-hmm. But you know, my family lived through that, and you know, our country still lives through those effects.
But from 1 through 6 is a very important age in a child's life. Their mind is shaping, it's developing. It was times your parents couldn't even love you in public.
Yeah, well, that was my whole life, but I didn't know any different. I didn't know that these things were happening. My dad didn't walk with me, but I grew up with kids who didn't even know their dad. So I was like, yeah, well, there's my dad. At least I know I have a dad. So I didn't think that I was suffering more than somebody else.
It was just how you were born and raised, so you didn't know anything different. It's not like you had it and it was taken away from you. Mm-hmm.
Like my mom, when we walk in the street, I write about this in my book. Like when we walk in the street, my mom would dress up as if she was my nanny. Because that was the way she would not look like a black woman had this mixed child with a white man. But I didn't know that. I was just like, that's how my mom dresses.
And you said we do still feel the effects of racism today. And there's people who will say, well, you know, we need to get over it. You guys were never slaves. So how can you even speak on what slavery is like? And everybody stop complaining and blaming, you know, being black for certain things happening in this country.
Well, this is what I say to those people. I go to argue that is to say that effects don't matter, to say that effects don't compound. You know, everything that happens in the world has an effect. Everything that happens to you. So if you have a system that promotes your well-being, you are going to grow in that world.
Absolutely.
So if your great-grandfather could have some money and a house and a piece of land, and then his child and then his child and his, and then it's going to go on, and then it's going to get to you in some way, shape, or form, even if it's just in the way of knowledge, knowing how to own a place, knowing how to get credit, knowing how to live in a different world, these are benefits that you have. You know, so when you say that to somebody, I don't understand how anybody can say that, where they go like, oh, well, I started from nothing. I'm like, no, but you didn't start from nothing, though. That's the thing you don't understand. You started from nothing in your world, but it's not nothing.
I just said that because Tommy Lawrence said something similar to that previously. So
yeah, but that's the thing. I understand how people go, why are you being a victim? You know, why? And it's like, no. There's a difference between claiming a victimhood and standing up and saying that the playing field is not level.
That's a fact.
And it is hard to see. It's the same way it was hard for me to see that as a man. I had to acknowledge that. I never thought that as a man I lived in a misogynistic world. Absolutely. I never thought that as a man I was in a place of privilege or power.
I just realized
but then
that
I realized
this year.
When did you just,
that, was
you
that you?
Just realize
I
that?
I just realized that this year. And the only reason I realized that is because in my life, women have always been the strongest people, whether it's been your mother,
that's
your grandmother.
Yes.
But you don't realize how much they were either keeping from us or how much they were going through at the time. So I'm like, oh, I didn't know that y'all felt insecure and stuff.
Yeah, but no, more importantly for me, I didn't realize that women lived in a world that was inherently misogynistic. Mm-hmm. Like small things as well. Fireman, chairman, for instance, in our lifetime, we've seen a change to chairperson.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's small things like that.
Yeah.
Tell you where
seeing
you're supposed
Hillary
to
Clinton
go.
Run for president, and exactly. So many people wouldn't vote for her just off the strength that she was a woman.
Yeah.
Or the fact that women don't even make the same amount of money as a man for the same job.
Exactly. So these are things we have to acknowledge. Now, a lot of the time, the problem with that conversation, I feel, is it becomes, if I acknowledge it, does it mean I have to give mine away? And that's where people shut down. So I go, you know, like people go, so if I acknowledge that black people have been and are being oppressed, does that mean I have to give up my freedom then?
We all got privileges. I feel that way truly. I feel like women have privilege, men have privilege, white people have privilege, black have privilege. Like we all have our own unique privileges.
I don't know that women have privileges per se in the conversation of power, but I hear what you're saying. There are benefits. There's a difference mm-hmm. between having benefits
even
to being certain things.
Go against us all
yes,
the time.
Completely.
It's always something that, well, I can do it, but you're a woman, so it's different when you do it.
Completely.
I mean, yeah, but men have those double standards. Our double standards are stupid for women. Like women can't play football. Like, no, they probably shouldn't. A lot of men shouldn't play football either. You know what I'm saying? But women
really
shouldn't.
Yeah, but
really
a woman's reputation can be destroyed if she sleeps with three men. But if a man sleeps with 100
men. Yeah, if I sleep with three men, my reputation
will
be destroyed.
Yes, that is true.
All right, if I sleep with three men right now, my reputation will be destroyed.
No, it would be expected.
So I mean...
we'll be like,
that's funny.
That's the double standard.
That's
let's
funny.
Go back to Tommy Lauren, because you guys got it bad last week. I mean, I heard
still getting bad now.
I heard sellout. I heard they called him the devil. What else they call you? Sambo.
First of all, one thing I've come to love and learn when it comes to like the American press is you have to know that they will frame the story in the way that it seems like that is best for their narrative.
I got
to
get these clicks, Trev.
So what happened with Tommy was this. After the show, I know that it's hard to come into my space. It would be just as hard for me to go into a conservative space and have these conversations, right? She was gracious. She comes in. She says things that I don't agree with, and I was open about that on the show.
Right.
What I didn't like was afterwards, people who claim to be progressive saying things like, oh, you know, this C word. Oh, I'm glad you put this dumb blonde bitch in her place. And I'm like, no, that's not... You see, what you've just done now is you've taken up a cudgel of misogyny to use against her claiming to be... You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're the same person. You can't do that when it suits you. You can't be like, no, I'm for women's rights,
you
but that
be,
bitch over there, right. It's like, no, but then you're going against that. And what I didn't like was that I was like, I don't stand for that. I honestly don't. I fundamentally disagree with many of the things she says. So I said, let me meet up with you and your producers. I'll come with me and my producer, and we just want to sit with you and say thank you. We're not for what has happened here post the interview.
So it wasn't a date.
No, but then what's great is they cut out my people, which is, I mean, that's what
and
happens.
Her people.
Yeah, in the picture. And then it's just like, oh, like, you know, that's why they don't show me walking out because I'm walking out with my people.
And they
like,
say you sipping a drink.
Y'all don't even look intimate.
I get like, that, though. But I get it. These
did
are
you
things.
Pay, did you pay for the drink, Trev?
That's, no, actually, I didn't.
Did you pay for it?
Okay.
No, I didn't. My people paid for the drink, funny enough.
You know, it's funny because you pay attention to the small details online. You're like, I bet he paid for her drinks.
That's funny. No, but look, I understand that.
Do you really have a crush on her at all?
I don't know. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Why does that?
But I get that. You know what I find funny? If someone goes, you wouldn't talk to this person if she wasn't a blonde, beautiful woman. And then I go, no, you didn't notice when I spoke to an average-looking white man. Because I've had many conservative people on my show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
nobody
I've
cares.
Talked to them afterwards. There are people who I still meet with today where I go, like, explain your world. Let me understand your world. Then I go, so you're the one who notices. I completely get if somebody is in a situation where they go, I don't appreciate that. I don't think you should give these people any airtime. I go, two things you're mistaking. One, I do not believe that we're in a situation where we're providing exposure for a person that has hundreds of millions of views on their videos.
She got a video that got 66 million views on.
Right. That's one video,
like, that's
by
average.
The way. Do you get what I'm saying? So you're not providing a platform for this person.
Right.
What you're doing is... you're trying to get into their space and talk to them as a person. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, you're trying to talk to the people that would never hear you in the first place. Because when that person comes into your space, I mean, it's the same reason artists started featuring people. because they were like, all right, we're trying to get you to cross over. Think about how many people became fans of Jay-Z after the Linkin Park thing, and then the other way around as well. That's what the whole thing was.
All right, we got more coming up with Trevor Noah, so don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Check it out.
That was Notorious B.I.G., Big Papa. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest, Trevor Noah, in the building. Now, Yee?
Now, I didn't have a problem with your interview. I think for Charlamagne, the problem was after your interview, some people just saw a picture of Charlamagne with her, and it was like a jokey kind of picture, and they had a problem because they heard what she said on your show.
Yes.
Then they saw that, and it just looked like they were hanging out.
Well, he was jokey on his show, the same thing, but I think with Charlamagne, I think
a lot of people
missed.
Well, it wasn't an interview that happened up here, though. But
I think
a
lot of people, we try to get it for an interview. I think a lot of people miss when we said that
I was going to have a conversation.
But yeah, of course some people
and by the way, I've been talking to her since February. I've known Tommy since February. Like, that's when I first came in contact with her. Yeah. I went on her show after.
You went on the show. Yeah.
Do you feel like she has changed her mind or has a different perspective on anything?
I don't think these things happen overnight. Mm-hmm. I think it's insane to think any of these things will be changed overnight. We have a legacy and a history. I mean, you know, like South Africa and the U.S. are very different because, in terms of oppression, you have to acknowledge in South Africa, black people are the majority. I never claim that they're the same. I never even claim to know the answers to these things. What I don't understand is why we don't understand that these things take time. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've learned constantly from reading, one thing you learn consistently is racism does not stand up well to contact. Mm. And that is one thing that I've noticed continuously. People are in contact with someone of another race. You find, and consistently, I don't mean just meeting you in the street. I mean like in your life. Right. You find that racism doesn't hold up because racism is based on race, and race is a construct that has been created to oppress people, and it is a fallacy at the end of the day. So when you meet the people, you start to see the people behind the thing that you've been taught like exists, but it doesn't really.
It's hard to hate black people if you have black friends.
It's extremely hard.
It's hard to hate white people if you got white friends.
Look at it. Look at it in the U.S. Look at it in the U.S. Look at it in many countries in the world. Places where people will say, like, you know, they go in America, where do they hate Muslim people the most? Places where there are none. They'll be like, do you know any Muslims? They'll be like, no, but I don't need to know them to know that I hate them. No, you
so
do.
So you think if Donald Trump was to come in contact and be friends with more Muslim people, maybe.
I think it's too late for guys like Trump. Trump's 70 years old.
And he's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. It's hard to change a 70-year-old
billionaire. He's stuck in his ways.
Yeah, like that's. I'm like, why?
I think he has too much money to want to change.
Like, that's my thing,
to,
though.
I don't have
that's
to.
My
he's
thing.
70.
Right.
Old people are stuck in their ways.
But he doesn't have to do business with you. He never has to see a Muslim person in his life if he doesn't want to. He has so much money.
But he does do business with Muslim people, though. We don't know the answers, and that's the thing I come to realize all the time. That's whether it's race. Whether it's economics or anything, we are all trying to figure it out.
Yes.
No one has figured it out.
Right.
I'm not saying I have a solution. You know, I'm not saying your way is wrong, and I'm not saying my way is right. What I am saying is no one seems to have figured it out yet. Mm-hmm. So
none of us got the answers.
Yeah. Wait. So I'm going, let's think of it like scientists. They go, yo, we're all trying to cure cancer. We're all using different methods. You call me if you figure this out. When you have a breakthrough, you call me. When you have a breakthrough, you call me. When you have, you get what I'm saying? And I feel like that as well. I go, I read, I try and learn, I try and approach it in the way that I can. And I go, you do your way, and I will try mine. And that's all I can do.
Do you follow Donald Trump on Twitter?
I do. Yeah, I do. Well, not
what
because
do you think
he's
about
president-elect.
A tweeting out all kinds of information.
If he hasn't blocked you yet, you're not doing your job well enough. I'll be honest with you.
Donald Trump, does he block people?
Yes, he blocked Bakari.
Donald Trump blocked you?
No, he didn't block me. He blocked Bakari. Sellers.
Oh, no, I don't think Donald Trump blocks many people. I don't think he...
Nah, he got
the blocking type.
He's a good,
I never thought of him as that type of guy. I don't think of him. You know what? I think it's great. I'll tell you now. I think of Donald Trump. I think it's great that he's on Twitter. You know why? Because then we really get to see what the man is thinking all the time. Because the people around him, they try and put varnish on it. They go like, oh, no, he didn't mean that. He didn't. And then he's like, no, I meant it. Yeah. Like, they were like, oh, no, the China-Taiwan call. That was just a call. He doesn't have anything against China. And then Trump tweeted, oh, yeah, I have something against China. Now we know where we stand. I like that. I like knowing who the person is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, why do you want to obscure that?
Now, I love the article in the New York Times, Let's Not Be Divided. Mm-hmm. And you said divided people are easy to rule. You said that's how apartheid was able to exist. Can you expound on that?
Well, here's my thing. Everyone will take it the way they want to take it, and they'll fight it or accept it or whatever it is. Greatest things that apartheid did within its world, it's so frustrating, is how powerful it was because it sowed seeds of discontent among people who were the same. That was the power of apartheid. You must remember, black people are 90% of the population in South Africa. How do you govern 90%? How do you keep them oppressed? Well, what you do is you convince them that they are not one. You convince them that they're all different groups.
Class.
So you split them up. So you go, no, we did it tribally. So we went like, oh, it's Zulu, it's Tswana, it's Pedi, it's Tsonga. We separate the people. You live there, you live there, you live there, you live there. And then what you do is you separate people who are mixed now. So you go like, okay, yeah, I don't care if your parents are mixed. You're a new race. We're going to call you colored. You know, and I was in a situation where I never got to live in that world because I grew up in a black family. That's the only world I knew. That's the stories I tell in my book. I go, my family was like, no, you're staying here. And the reason they hid me was because they were afraid of that happening to me. That is the best thing. We're all fighting in this world, and you start to realize, you go like, where is it coming from? Why is it happening? So you go like, oh no, you're holding us back. No, Charlemagne, you're bad for black people. Then it's like, is Charlemagne really the worst thing for black people?
Yes.
Is Charlemagne really the worst thing for black? You're like, really? Yes. Of all the things
Stop
out there.
Stop repeating that, Trev.
Really? You're like, for real? You're like, no, but you're like, are you for real though?
Yes.
Are you being for real?
Answer the question, yes.
Voter ID rights, you know, you're going to vote ID laws, and then you're going to be, Charlemagne's the worst thing? Mass black incarceration, people. But Charlemagne is the worst thing?
Yeah.
Then I'm like, it's so easy to do that, because what happens is you can get caught up in the, it's like, here, let's fight here because that thing seems so big, we may as well just punch each other on the way there. So I go, I'm trying, I listen, I learn, I read. I don't claim to know everything. I'm not even saying South Africa's perfect. We're not. But one thing we have in South Africa that I know changed my life, my family's life, my grandmother's life, everyone's lives, is that we had an acknowledgement.
Of what?
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa. We sat down, and as a nation, we had to go, slavery is real. This is what the people did. These are the lives that they took. Mass incarceration. These are the stories. These are the people coming out and saying, yes, I came after you because you were black. This is what I did to your people. People can argue about whether or not the effects worked or what. But one thing that was garnered from that was the acknowledgement that as a person of color, you were not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, it feels like that hasn't happened.
Right.
In America, there hasn't been like a, yes, okay, let's be honest. This country was designed to oppress you. Okay, fine. At least that. Just so that as a person of color, you can go, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Because oftentimes you feel like you are.
So how do we engage in the discussion here in America?
Because I don't know about that. I say to people all the time, I'm going like, I'm not saying the we. I'm just offering my own suggestion.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I see life like a video game. I don't know all the moves. I know the moves that I know. I know which moves of mine work.
Right.
So I'm going to do those moves. Sometimes I'm going to meet someone who's going to teach me a new move. I'm going to use that move in the game. And sometimes when you're playing, I'll be like, hey, man, I don't know if this will work for you, but whenever I'm up against that boss, I use this move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just saying this is what has worked
for me,
for me in my world. And then you can tell me the same thing.
All right, we got more coming up with Trevor Noah, so don't go anywhere. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Riri with Needed Me. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Trevor Noah's in the building. Charlamagne?
You told the Times we can be unwavering in our commitment to racial equality while still breaking bread with the same racist people who've oppressed us. I know it can be done because I had no choice but to do it, and it's the reason I am where I am today. Do you think America could really do that? Because it seems very deep-rooted in America.
It is deep-rooted, but just because it's deep-rooted doesn't mean it can't happen. Here's the thing I realized with racism, and this is like my mad theory. I have not scientifically studied this at all, but this is what I believe with racism. I go, fundamentally, I believe we treat racism the wrong way because I think we should treat racism like a disease and not as a choice. I believe that racism is hereditary. It is passed down from generation to generation, just like alcoholism. You know, because if you are not born, if you're not in a world where racism exists, you don't become, it is taught to you. You can head it, and you can get it later on in life, just like you can become an alcoholic later on in life. But that is something that can be changed. The problem I have is when you shun racists, when you cut them out of society, where do they go to? I don't understand that logic. When Donald Sterling with the Clippers has his racist tirade, what happens to him? They give him $1 billion and he goes home. Is that guy not racist anymore? Now you got a racist billionaire, the worst kind. Like,
we need
like,
conversion.
As we said earlier,
we need conversion shock therapy for racism. That's what we need.
Stop. You're the extreme guy in the party, yeah. Charlamagne.
Is there any way, like you said earlier, to change somebody who's 70, 80 years old, rich, And
no, I don't know if we can right. change that. But I do believe the way we treat racism, though, is not... You're going... So let me get this straight. A person is racist, they get fired from their job. A person is racist, we kick them off a TV show. A person is racist, we ban them off Twitter. A person is racist... So all we're doing is we're banning these people. Mm-hmm. Where do we ban them to? That's all I want to know. Like, when you look at the world, mm-hmm. you go... You realize that these things exist beyond race.
Right.
Right? You do realize that. So you go to other countries in the world... And I can tell you stories like that from my friends who grew up in African countries where there are no white people, and it's a tribal thing.
Mm.
So they'll be like, ah, you've got that Zulu name, you can't get into that place. Or you're in Uganda, you're from this tribe, then you can't get position. You're in India, you Tamil, all of a sudden they're saying to you, oh, no, you can't rise up. No, we don't accept you in the Hindi community. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like... It happens. That's a tribal thing, unfortunately, that happens all over the world. Right. The thing we're dealing with in America is the racist side of that.
Right.
And it's almost like you want to evolve to the next step where maybe you're dealing with the next ism almost.
What you know the problem with America? America deals with too many extremes. Like, there's no nuance in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't think that there's any shades of gray in America. It has to be one or the other.
Yes.
And I think that's the problem with America.
Well, I mean, that's one of the issues that we face in the world. But yeah, but that's an issue that we have as people. It's either good or bad.
Now I have one last question. Is Charlamagne the worst thing for black people?
Shut the F up.
I'm gonna go on the record and say, Charlamagne, you are the worst thing that ever happened to black people. and I'm glad to know you.
Flavor Flav?
I'm glad to know you. I'm glad to know you. And you know what? I'm going to walk out with you in the streets, Charlamagne. And I'm going to take you out for a drink, Charlamagne. And I'm going to try and change you as well, Charlamagne.
That's right. Try to change me.
And you know what? All these people here, they try and they try and get me out of your world. I'm going to stay in your world, Charlamagne.
We need to have conversations.
I'm going to stay in your world. But for real, though, I just think we should talk.
Now, listen, with The Daily Show, it seems like over the past week, people are discovering, wow, Trevor Noah is really good. I think it was a little tough because you was replacing a legend.
Yeah, I mean, you can't replace John. That's what I stand to try and tell people.
Did you ever tell him change the name of the show? Like, hey, let's change the name of the show. Let me start something.
Well, you couldn't. You got to look at it as a gift and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking over a legacy. And so the gift of that is that you have inherited a legacy. The curse is that there is a legacy to live up to.
Right.
I always go with this. I go, John has been the greatest mentor to me. He's the person who plucked me from obscurity in my world. He was like, I saw your videos and I was like, I like this guy. I want to work with him.
He adopted an African baby, basically.
That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. And he brought me into his world. And so at the end of the day, I go like, you know, John has told me about the pros and cons of the job, the world you're living in. In any space where you have an opinion, there are people who are going to say that it is wrong or it is right. That's you guys know that better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you just got to go out there and do the best that you can do. Educate yourself as much as you can. Engage with, you know, viewpoints that you may not agree with. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to learn. I'm trying to be honest. And that's what I'm doing is I'm learning with my viewers. I go, what a great time. I'm learning. We're learning. The president is learning. What a wonderful time. We're
all learning together.
Oh, no, he's learning every day about what it means to be president. I'm sure every single day Donald Trump is like, really? That's a thing?
Yeah.
Every day. Every day Donald Trump is shocked by something.
I can't wait till they tell him about UFOs. I know
you know he's tweeting
that.
It, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting fact. Do you know that if the president tells us about anything, it's no longer classified? Declassified. So,
well,
I mean, Donald
get
Trump
that
can
UFO
just...
UFO information. I feel like you could trick it out of him.
It's coming.
Word. My goodness.
Well, Trev, I'm glad you came, man, because like I said, when they was going in on me, I was cool. When they was going in on you, I was like, do you know this guy's story? Do you know where he comes from, what he's been through? That's why he has such patience, I guess, in the face of quote-unquote white supremacy.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you very much. And I appreciate what you guys do, man. Huge fans of the show. So, I mean, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, there you have it. It's Trevor Noah. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You want the latest gossip and entertainment news? Well, then don't go anywhere, because the Rumor Report is up next.
The Breakfast Club.
Oprah.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Oprah is going to be sitting down with our First Lady, Michelle Obama. She's getting the final interview with her before they leave the White House. It's called First Lady Michelle Obama Says Farewell to the White House, an Oprah Winfrey special. And that's going to broadcast on CBS. On December 19th. And there's going to be a second airing that's going to premiere on OWN on December 21st. So the First Lady will be talking about what it's been like being the First Lady for the last 8 years, the legacy she's leaving behind, and what she has planned for the future. So I'm going to definitely be watching that.
It's going to be sad, man. Everything that
it is. I'm already sad.
Everything you see from the Obamas for the next 2 months is going to be so sad. It's just going to be sad watching them walk away.
This shit came out of Breakfast Club, though.
Shut up.
You wanted the final sit down?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Khloe Kardashian. You know she has her jean line, Good American Jeans. Did you know that her jeans have been the biggest denim launch in apparel history?
Really?
Do you know how much she made on the first day of sales?
How much?
$1 million.
Wow.
On the first day for
these
jeans.
What did they sell it?
Listen, I have no idea. I didn't even know much about these jeans.
What's so special about the jeans? They come with a butt in them or something?
I don't know. I guess it's just the fact that she's has a huge following. Remember when she was posting from inside the...
The sweatshop.
Yeah, it's not a sweatshop. And she got mad that people were saying that it was a sweatshop. Well, they've been selling out, but they're going to have these styles available again.
And they said it was super-duper expensive. People were mad that the price was kind of high.
They were mad at the price, yes. Really? They range from $149 to $205.
Well, congrats to her. Make that bread.
Right. So there's three key styles, and you can go on goodamerican.com. That's where you get it if you care about these jeans. And they have them at Nordstrom as well.
Oh, Nordstrom's. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where you can get them. That's crazy. $1 million on the first day. All right, and I love this story. This is very inspirational. The Rock. Now, he talks about having only $7 in his wallet and having to move back in with his parents back in 1995. And now look at how much money The Rock is worth, right? Here he is talking. It's a brand new series from 7 Bucks Digital Studios. It talks about successful actors, athletes, musicians, comedians, influencers, and just real people who are inspirational when they reach that turning point in their life. And The Rock actually is kicking this off. Check it out.
No audio.
Oh, we don't have the audio?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I thought I had it. It was very important.
That
well, he went
that
from
story.
Having, yeah, it definitely
Good
killed
job,
that story. I thought he had it. All right, it went from went from having $7 21 years ago, and now guess how much he's worth?
Like $64.5 million.
Oh, wow.
Did you just say?
He hated. He hated. Oh, that's it. You a hater, yo.
That's
I said
it?
300. I had him up there.
64. Okay. That's all.
Yeah, no, but 64.5. So that's an inspirational, great story.
Mm-mm-mm.
All right. Well. That's it.
That'd sound better if it came from The Rock, though. I ain't gonna lie.
I would have loved to, have that.
All right. Well, that was the rumor report. Charlamagne!
Yo!
Who are you giving your donkey to?
Oh, man. Donkey today is going to somebody who I know very well. Mm. Me!
You giving yourself?
You giving yourself donkey?
It's the second time this year?
Wow.
I think it's the second time this year.
Wow. Okay.
Second time this year I'm getting donkey today. So, yes. Charlamagne, God, please come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We'll get to that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's time for the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go, babe.
Shut the hell up. Look, donkey of the day for Wednesday, December 7th, goes to Charlamagne the God. Oh, yes, I'm giving myself donkey today because last night on Twitter, I tweeted out, would be dope if a young black or Hispanic liberal used social media to create a platform to be a voice like Tommy Lauren did. Then I tweeted out, if you don't like the narratives people are painting of you, create your own platforms to control your own narratives. Then I took out the word liberal and tweeted, would be dope if a young black or Hispanic woke woman used social media to create a platform to be a voice like Tommy Lauren did. Now, I wasn't saying anyone should be like Tommy Lauren. I'm simply saying we should build an online news platform and use social media to blow it up. See, this young lady... works for the Blaze Network, but nobody watches the Blaze. And when you try to see that content online, you have to pay for it. What Tommy did was start taking clips of her show and pushing them through Facebook, and now her content is popping. And whether we like it or not, at least for the next 4 years, she's going to be a voice for the young conservative right. So I feel we need a young liberal minority voice for the left. And hell, it doesn't even have to be political. We just need a young minority voice in that space, and I feel it needs to be a woman of color, because a woman's voice to me resonates and connects with a lot of different people. Now, the reason I give myself donkey today is because I got slandered for it. I will take this L because I tell you people all the time, in life you either win or you learn. That's what the L stands for, learning. And last night I learned you have to be specific on social media, okay? Aminka Belvitch said to me on social media, what Seat of God should have said is black women should create an online news show like Tommy Lauren, not platform. Wrong word to use. I can see that because it is plenty of women of color with platforms and voices on Twitter and Tumblr, and clearly women of color have the loudest voices on those platforms. I say it all the time. Last thing you want is a bunch of Crystals and Jermell Lemieux on your ass, okay? So, yes, I acknowledged that women do have loud voices on these platforms. Most of the social justice hashtags, including Black Lives Matter, are powered by women of color on social media, but social media is the engine that makes it go. We need to build the car. Okay, the online news network is the car. Now, I also got informed last night that it is online news network. Some of them I heard before. Some I never heard of until last night. The Advise show in Houston is one I never heard of. Salute to them. I have to salute Francesca Ramsey, who has MTV Decoded and the Last Name Basis podcast. I knew that one. It's literally a bunch of them they were sending me last night. So for the online news networks hosted by women of color that do exist, are Black online news networks, period. How do we amplify their voices? Instead of sitting around and discussing on social media what Tommy Lauren is doing, why can't we discuss in large numbers these online news shows hosted by women of color and make them bigger? I am on the front page of Twitter this morning, was trending all last night because women of color collectively came together to slander my black ass. That's power. All right. Every Sunday night, Insecure on HBO was the number one trending topic on Twitter because of women of color. Scandal, how to get away with murder, anything women of color put their hands on via social media, whether it's putting their hands on them in a good way or a negative way, it amplifies it. Okay. So don't you think we could do the same for our online news network? Once again, let me go back to my initial tweet. Would be dope if a young black or Hispanic woke woman used social media to create a platform to be a voice like Tommy Lauren did. I said use social media to create a platform. The platform is the online news network, using social media to push that online network. Same way Tommy is using Facebook to blow her platform up is the thing that we need, okay? It's a saying. And that saying is, I'm responsible for what I say, but not for what you understand. I don't wholeheartedly agree with that. I feel like I'm responsible for what I say, but I have a duty to phrase it in a way that you do understand. Maybe I didn't do a good job of doing that last night via social media. Some people knew exactly what I was saying. Others felt offended because they thought I was saying to be like Tommy. Others felt offended because they already have these platforms and aren't getting the light shined on them. I understand all of that. So all I want to know right now is, how are we going to create more online news platforms hosted by women of color? Okay, for the online news platforms hosted by women of color already, that already exist, how can we blow them up and amplify them? I'm here to assist in whatever way I can. Okay, same way y'all can go in on me and cause me to trend and put me on the front page of Twitter, surely we can bring attention to women of color with online news networks. So for all those who don't feel I conveyed that message properly last night, allow me to give myself the biggest hee-haw. Now what we gonna do?
That's great. So that means that for the Breakfast Club, we'll be looking for those women to come and give them a platform.
Absolutely. That's how we amplify voices.
On our show.
Because it's very important that for the next 4 years, we control our narratives, man. Salute to people like Angela Rye. She hit me up last night. Crystals, Jermell Lemieux, Francesca Ramsey, Simone Sanders, all women of color in those online news spaces. But I still believe we need that young minority liberal woke voice on the left to combat the false narratives that will be coming from the young conservative voice on the right. So I'm here to help. Let's make some things happen. Everybody talking about what people are giving, well, we got things to give over here too, okay? We can help you amplify your voice.
So you're giving yourself donkey today for people not understanding what you
said?
Shut
up! I'm not going back down this road because you're about to confuse me again. All right? You just shut your
beige ass
up.
For not perhaps phrasing what he was trying to say in a way that people could understand what he meant, instead of saying because people felt like he was saying these women don't exist. But what it is we need to support those women that do have these platforms, and we need to create more of them.
So you're giving yourself donkey today for saying something wrong. I want to be clear. It sounds like you gave yourself donkey today for people not understanding you right.
I just specifically said I probably did not convey the message.
That's
the
all
right
I wanted to hear. You were wrong. Yes, that's what I wanted to hear.
I didn't say I was wrong. I said I didn't convey the message the right way. I was wrong in not conveying the message in the ways people understood. But some people did understand. But for the people that didn't understand, I'm giving myself donkey.
For all y'all that's not woke out there.
Yeah, all you, I don't even know what that means.
You used it.
Oh, my God. Y'all just want me to be the bad guy. I'll be the bad guy.
Let me be the bad guy. If you get donkey, there's no donkey.
I am. I'm always the bad guy. I am. Charlemagne the God is the worst thing that ever happened to black people in the history of life.
There's no donkey with a footnote.
There's nothing worse than Charlemagne the God when it comes to black people, okay? I am disgusting. I need to be kicked out of the culture.
Because you kind
of
gave everyone else donkey for not understanding.
I didn't do that.
And can you never again do something like that when I'm trying to push our ugly Christmas sweaters, all right? I'm trying to push our ugly Christmas sweaters. And then Charlemagne puts that on Twitter, and that kind of ruined it. I was like, this idiot.
You're just thinking about profit. I'm sitting there. I'm trying to uplift and empower people, and you telling me talk about some ugly Christmas sweater.
Well, don't do that right before I post that.
Oh, Lord.
Ever again. No,
we don't want to win.
Oh, my goodness. All
right. I need a drink, man. I guess. I'm so sick.
You want a mimosa?
Thank you for the donkey today.
Drink this Remy straight. I'm so sick of this. I can't take it.
People next time understand him, all right?
You guys are all donkey today.
You guys are all donkeys.
That's not what happened.
All right. Up next is ASCII.
You want to drink with me, I mean? 585-1051. Lord have mercy.
If you need some relationship advice, ASCII right now.
If you need to get woke.
God know my heart. God know I need this drink at 8:11 in the morning.
800-585-1051. ASCII is next. If you need some advice, call her now. She'll help you out with all your problems. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
585-1051 if you need some advice, some relationship advice. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Nene from Rochester, New York.
Nene, what's up, The Rock, baby? What's good?
Hi. Yes, I was just calling in this morning because I had a question about relationships in the workplace.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing someone at my job, and I think I'm starting to develop feelings, but I don't know if he is. So I'm starting to feel like, should I just tell him we should be friends?
So you're sleeping with somebody at work?
Yes.
And so what was the agreement that you guys have? And let me ask you this. What's your policy at work about relationships in the workplace? Do they have a policy or everything's good?
Everything is good. I haven't really heard a policy.
Okay. Now, is he in a relationship with anybody else? Are y'all sneaking around or... You guys are both single.
He was in a relationship, but he said he's not in a relationship anymore.
You believe him?
Yeah. They don't live together anymore.
Okay, all right. So she moved out. So he just got fresh out of a relationship. He might not be able to jump into something new right away. But he told you that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he has told you he doesn't want to be in a relationship.
Well, he said he just want to take things slow because he was with somebody for a long time.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was straight up. But the problem is that you feel like you like him more than he likes you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and have you been seeing anybody else or just him?
No, just him.
Is he seeing anybody else?
No.
Okay, so you guys kind of are in a relationship because y'all only dating each other exclusively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My whole thing is this. If you like somebody and things are going okay and there's no real issues, then I don't see why you want to overthink it.
Oh, okay. So I'm overthinking it. Yeah, because it's no issues. It's just that we work together. So I'm just concerned about it not working out, and then we still have to work together.
Sometimes you put that in the atmosphere when you get so nervous that something's not going to work out. What if I like him more than he likes me? But if he's not doing anything that you feel is disrespectful to you, if he treats you well and you like him and you can tell that he likes you, and it's only been 3 months, then I don't see why you're putting so much on it.
Oh, okay.
Like, why don't you do what he says? He said he wants to take it slow, right?
Yeah, right.
So you guys might as well take it slow. You understand that he just got out of a relationship, which he told you. He was open and honest about that. The woman doesn't live with him anymore. You believe him, right?
Right.
So the problem is in your own head. I think I like him more than he likes me. So what?
Right.
If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just nothing you could really control right now. Just go ahead and enjoy yourself. Enjoy the relationship. And you don't got to break something off because you're scared that something might happen in the future that you have no idea, that there's no indication that it could happen.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. Just always bear in mind that he was honest with you. He did tell you he needs to take it slow. He did just get out of a relationship. So be patient.
Okay. All right. I will.
And remember, you guys work together. You all should at least be friends with each other.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck, mama.
Thank you.
Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You got my soul.
That was Bryson Tiller with Exchange. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, let's get to more questions for Yee. If you got, if you need relationship advice or any type of advice, 800-585-1051.
This one's going to make you mad, but let's do caller number 5.
Might as well make me mad. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Jamie from Milwaukee.
Hey, Jamie.
All right, what's the problem, Jamie?
I have just a flat-out question for you. What would you do if you found your 14-year-old daughter's vagina in pictures on her phone?
What?
I told you was going to be mad, Envy.
Oh, my goodness.
How you know that's hers?
I asked her, and out of all the things she's lied to me about, this is the one thing she actually told me the truth, like, just yes.
Okay. And what was her explanation? She took pictures of it? She sent it to somebody?
You know what? I didn't even give her a chance to explain or whatever. I just went, you know, postal on her. And I just I just want to know what y'all would do.
So here's an interesting story. One of my friends, he has 2 sons, right? And he's raising his 2 sons on his own. And he had an issue at the school where a girl from school sent a naked picture to his son, who's also 14 years old. And that is child pornography, by the way. Him having that on his phone is child pornography. So he ended up getting expelled from school for having that picture on his phone. The problem is that we didn't grow up in that era where people were doing that. We didn't have those cell phones where we were taking pictures and nudes of ourselves and sending them out. And we see so many celebrities and regular people doing that online that people think that's just a regular thing. And kids have to understand that when you put something like that out there, it's something that can live forever. It's something that can be sent and shared with the whole entire world, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's something as a child people don't understand, but go ahead.
I drove a school bus. I've been in daycare and everything throughout my whole life, ever since I've been out of high school, and I lost my job over this. It was like, to me, it was the best job I ever had. Mm-hmm. And until this case is over and everything, they're trying to be lenient with me because they understand that she really did, you know, do something extreme. And I would have never done anything like that to her, but I'm like, God, it was just like her life flashed before my eyes.
Right.
And, you know, I know, Charlamagne, I know you got kids and got kids, you know, daughters, And I just want to know, like, what would you have done? Because I'm getting booked, and the sheriffs are all telling me, you know, you did the right thing. I would have did the same. But yet and still, I'm going to jail. You know, they're telling me, like, you know, I would have did the same. I would have did more to her. And,
you whooped her out? You beat her up?
I tore her butt up, and then I messed around and took her to school. Everybody told me the problem.
What you mean tore her butt up? Like, there's a popping and there's beat it up black eye.
I got a belt, and I did what I thought my mother would have did, what I thought her mother would have did, and so on and so forth.
How bad? Like, black eye bad? Like,
No. Bad? I actually had no black eye, no broken bones and nothing like that, but she is yellow. She bought your color.
Okay. Envy.
So, you know, it looked a little worse than it was, and she, you know, she
you know,
was
it's very, it's
it,
very
but...
hurtful to you that she did something like that, and I know that you, but she doesn't understand what could potentially happen from that, and that's what you really need to
this
sit
is
down.
My daughter, though,
you, right?
I don't care what anybody says. She understood. Like, my kids, I homeschool my kids, I breastfed my kids. You know, I don't. They've never even been in daycare. Like, I'm a mom. I'm teaching them. My motto is I don't even want a teacher to teach them something before I've already taught them, you know.
The only thing you did wrong was send them to school the next day. You shouldn't have sent her to school the next day, but you did what's right. You should be able to discipline your child as long as you're not putting her any type of danger. Or hurting her.
But back to these pictures, right? I really do think it is important for you to just make sure that she understands that you love her, and that's the reason why you don't want to see her do anything crazy that could affect the rest of her life.
She seems to understand now, but I just want to know what the world would do. What would you do, you know, Angela? What would you do, Charlamagne? What would you do, Emmy? Because what I did landed me in some water, and I don't wish that on anybody. But I mean, at the time now they're like, she's failing in school, and because she's not living with me in my home, and they're like,
they took her away from you.
Yeah, they took. I have 3 other children. They're here. You know, everybody's fine. All the other kids don't like to get a B on the report card. Like, you know, straight and narrow kids. My oldest son skipped the grade. He skipped the first grade. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids are intelligent.
That's
she
sad,
knew better.
Bro.
And now you know what? Your daughter is really suffering the most from this because she's been taken away from you.
She's on her way back home now, but, like, I'm trying to, like, you know, stretch it out because my other kids were mad at her, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody was forgiving before, you know, she came back in the home. But, yeah, it's been,
you know,
like,
it sounds
so
like
stressful.
It's time for you guys to have a nice... Stop it. Y'all got to have a nice family sit down and put everything out on the table and explain and just really just overdo everything with the love right now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because you said she does understand what she did is wrong. You feel like she'll never do something like that again?
I know she won't. I hope she won't. You know, this is she's been my problem child. She's been the one where,
right.
You know, I really don't have a problem on any of my other kids. But
she's rebellious. And she's at that age, I'm sure, where she's rebellious, too, because I remember being that age and really just going against everything.
There are a lot of successful people, though, you know, that ended up being rebellious at first. But, you know,
But you know what?
So I have faith in her.
But you know what? It was probably needed. Like, my mom used to put hands on me. My dad never did. And I know for my wife's mom put hands on her, definitely. And she deserved those hands. But I think now you need to have a conversation with her and really talk to her and really try to be a friend and really get into her head, because you don't want her friends to get in her head and her to do some more stupid-ish.
Right.
Well, and you don't want her to feel alone and ostracized right now either, or that you don't love her or anything like that. So you really need to just let her know that you want to do what's best for her. That's your daughter. You love her, and you want to make sure that she goes down the right path and that she doesn't ruin anything for herself. She doesn't embarrass herself. She doesn't get bullied at school. She doesn't have something that's out there for the whole world to see that will be with her for the rest of her life. And you just have to let her understand that.
Sorry, Mama. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call at any
time. Well,
that was
very deep today.
Yeah, that was sad.
And you know what? There's not always a one answer that we can give you for anything.
But that lady lost her job, man. And all she was trying to do was really just discipline her daughter. And that's really crazy.
And lost her daughter for a little while.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's the case, if you have to discipline your child, just don't bring them to school the next day. This is the truth. All right, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Drake and French Montana. They did some 10 snipe commandments, and I want to see what you guys think about these rules that they live by.
All right, all that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You want the latest gossip and entertainment news? Well, then don't go anywhere, because the Rumor Report is up next.
The Breakfast Club.
Follow me and the guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Donald Trump.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor, rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, Donald Trump has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. He did an interview on NBC's Today Show with Matt Lauer. That's where they revealed the winner and who was going to be on the cover. Check out what he had to say.
Good morning. Last year, when Time did not choose you as Person of the Year and chose Angela Merkel, you said Time Magazine will never pick me as Person of the Year. They proved you wrong. How do you feel about this?
Well, it's a great honor. It means a lot, especially me growing up reading Time Magazine. And, you know, it's a very important magazine. And I've been lucky enough to be on the cover many times. But I consider this a very, very great honor.
I mean, sadly, he is the Person of the Year because he was the executive producer of Celebrity Apprentice. He's now the 45th president of the United States of America.
Not yet.
With no political experience whatsoever. Who else came up like that this year?
Nobody.
Well, in 2012, he had tweeted out, "I knew last year that Time Magazine lost all credibility when they didn't include me in their top 100. So I guess now Time has their credibility back because he is the Person of the Year." All right, Drake and French Montana, they have these 10 snipe commandments. Now, French Montana liked these rules so much, these rules that they live by, that he actually had them printed out and framed. Some of the things in their bro code: thou shalt never pillow talk or discuss business with a ting.
True.
On any import from the U.S., Canada, Europe, or any other region, thou shalt practice a maximum 3-day export rule to avoid frustration.
What does that even mean?
That you can only fly a girl in for 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Thou shalt always be honest with a brother about a splash. Thou shalt never tell a ting about another man's splash in order to execute his own splash. This one was even more alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt only splash unprotected if it's a must splash.
Whoa.
Or you are too fry, or you trust the vibe, or you plan to keep the vibe for a minimum of 6 months with 4 interactions within the allotted time period. One.
Basically, when you say trust the vibe, that means that you just feel like she don't got no
STDs. She don't look like she got nothing.
Yeah, you probably do.
What's that airwax thing you do? You probably try that.
And what was the other thing you said? If you feel comfortable around it, what was it? You trust the vibe.
You she plan has to keep that vibe for a minimum of 6 months.
No.
These guys are crazy.
That's not how any of this
works. Sounds like French.
This sounds like a terrible rumor.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
And you know what? I hope one of y'all girls trap one of them rich Negroes. Okay, if you know that they out here doing like that, make them feel like they the one.
Thou shalt always lie, to protect a brother's reputation or the chance of a splash conversion in the near or distant future.
Men don't cheat. He's a great guy.
Thou shalt be allowed to hunt in all jungles unless a trespass has been enforced verbally. So
everybody's open unless you say she's off limits. Right.
All right. Thou shalt use communication with a brother to avoid being blindsided by other hunters and poachers.
They got too much time.
Ain't nobody must got a hold of that yet, but he must be too busy on me because that's very misogynistic, don't you think?
This sounds crazy. It sounds like women are definitely being objectified as an export.
I guess y'all got too much on y'all plate this week dealing with me and Trevor Noah.
Well, this just happened. And listen, thou shalt never use hand-to-hand currency exchange to guarantee a splash unless hunting in exotic locations. So don't pay for
Poom Poom unless you're in an exotic location.
Unless you're in Dubai.
You're international.
First of all, if you're in an exotic location, you should have flew something out. You know what I'm saying?
They don't want to fly.
I would say y'all have to pay for it at all, period. Come on, guys.
Especially if you're going to hit it raw. You paying to hit something raw?
All right, guys.
That you don't know?
These might be old rules and regulations.
Well, he just posted them.
Oh, damn.
I don't know, bro.
All right. I hate to switch gears to this, but...
Come on, Zanique, give us a nice HIV AIDS report.
T.I. and Tiny's daughter, Zanique and Lil Wayne and Toya's daughter, Regine, are going to be joining Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta.
Okay.
That's the cast that's going to be there, and Bow Wow is actually producing the show. Mm. So that's going to be on air in 2017. So congratulations to those young ladies for being on Growing Up Hip Hop Atlanta. They've joined the cast. Speaking of Atlanta, Stevie J is saying that he got beat up by Jocelyn while she's pregnant. Recently they had posted a video. He was over there. She was cooking for him. So it seems like they made up because, they hadn't been getting along at all. Now, he's saying that Jocelyn showed up uninvited to his house Sunday. That was the same day she was cooking for him and busted up his face and injured his eyes. Now, he is saying there was another encounter where she threatened him, lunged at him, hurled paperwork, and unleashed a profanity-laced tirade. So I don't know what's going on, but he is filing a report about this, and he's saying that he wants her to get mental help right away.
Oh, now you want Jocelyn to get mental help. You just realizing she need mental help? I'm telling you, mental help is the new I Got Hacked, bro. I'm telling you, as soon as somebody goes too far to your liking, you're like,
mental illness.
Like, no.
Nah, it's serious. Some people do need it.
She's been needing it.
But she's pregnant, too, so her hormones are racing, too.
Right. There's never an excuse to attack or hit somebody, though.
Never.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee.
Oh, I got some applause.
Eddie just hitting buttons, Eddie been hitting bombs and applause, Eddie just in his own world. He really enjoying the show. He like, oh, bomb.
Clap for me.
Applause. Eddie's our new producer, ladies and gentlemen.
He has applause like, thank God we made it.
All right, shout out to Revolt. We'll see you guys, I don't know when you guys are coming back. Friday? Sure?
Revolt?
Yeah. We're not going to see them tomorrow.
Right. We'll be in Boston.
Yeah, we'll be in Boston, so maybe Friday.
But we'll be live.
Yes, we'll be live.
We'll be live from another location.
Revolt won't be. All right. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. You want to hear something at DJ MV. 800-585-1051 for your request. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. Rumor. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Jeremiah has some of my favorite songs, and he was performing on stage in Chicago. He did two songs, and then this happened.
What?
All right.
What happened now?
So he said, there's some haters, F y'all. So people were complaining because they paid their money. He's on tour, Party Next Door.
Mm-hmm. Why he only did two songs, though?
Well, he went on Twitter. He said, Chicago, you know I love y'all. I didn't say F y'all. I said, there's some haters, F y'all. Okay? And he said he was talking to, I guess, the sound people that cut off his ears while he was performing. So I guess he couldn't hear anything. He said, truth is, they didn't want me to perform tonight. It's sad people will take your money and blatantly make it seem like I only want to do two songs.
Maybe he's mentally ill.
Why is everybody mentally ill with you?
I guess they cut him off after only two songs. So he's saying he wasn't saying F y'all.
Oh, so it wasn't him that walked off the stage.
He did walk off the stage, but he's saying he wasn't saying F y'all to the crowd. He was saying the sound people cut him off.
Well, let's not rush to judgment. He could be mentally ill.
Oh, stop it.
All right, now Khloe Kardashian, people were saying that she had a sweatshop after she posted some videos on Snapchat talking about her good American jeans and how they are made. Listen to this.
We are at my good American denim factory. Look at these rolls and rolls of denim. Don't f*** it up. All the pressure's on you and my good American clients. Hand sanding each pair of denim. Absolutely crazy. She is actually putting every single hole in the ripped denim by hand on every single pair of jeans. That's absolutely crazy.
What's all the right. problem?
Well, people started saying she had a sweatshop and they were criticizing her and she fired back and said, watch your mouth. All make salaries and all are employed in L.A. Know your info before you chime in. So she says that it means the world to her that her jeans are made in the USA.
The fact that she even had to respond to that is ridiculous.
Plus, you know people be having jokes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus Christ, come on.
You know, you just be like, LOL, come on, y'all. If y'all you, know this ain't a sweatshop.
Yeah, if you know you're paying your employees, what's the problem?
Yeah, but she got offended and upset about that for whatever reason. All right, Mariah Carey. Now, there were these rumors that part of the reason why her engagement got broken off was because of her choreographer. And he thought that she was romantically involved with her choreographer. But apparently now it seems like the two of them have been together quite a bit. And there's actually, according to Us Weekly, pictures of them. They were all over each other. They were not wanting to be more than a few feet apart. They swam in the ocean. He picked her up. He kissed her. She was jumping into his arms. And he bent her back over his knee like they were dancing. They were holding hands. He gave her a piggyback ride, all of that.
I do that with my wife all the time.
Well, the only problem is this is her choreographer.
No.
So, apparently, some people are trying to say that they're dating now, and that does seem like dating.
That's good, because Mariah's probably actually looking for love now. I mean,
and that's how J-Lo came up. Remember, she started messing with her choreographer also.
After a while, you got to just lower your standards, okay? You dated Nick Cannon, you had a couple kids, he's worth $50 million. You dated a billionaire, that didn't work out. So now you got to really date for love.
And he's 33 years old.
Who's going to love you more than a young choreographer?
They ain't got nothing.
Mariah, that's what I'm saying. Mariah means the world to him. He need the job security. Congratulations to them. Drop one of Clues Bombs from Mariah Carey and Bay.
Now let's go to court. We'll talk about Kevin Roper. That's the driver who struck Tracy Morgan and nearly killed him. He has pleaded guilty yesterday to vehicular homicide and four counts of aggravated assault from that crash that killed, of course, Tracy Morgan's good friend, James McNair. Now, as part of that deal, he's going to do a 3-year intervention program that includes 300 hours of community service. If he stays out of trouble, then the charges will be dropped. The judge will sign off on that deal. And, of course, we know Walmart did reach that settlement.
You don't go to jail for killing people? Why? Because it was an accident, I guess?
Yeah, it was an accident.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and Designer, by the way, his charges are also dropped. His charges for possession will go away. His record will be cleared. They have sealed the case, dismissed the charges yesterday also. So this was good news for Designer. He initially had been hit with intent to sell, menacing, and possession of a loaded gun, but they never found a gun. The drugs were steroids that were most likely prescribed to the driver, who was also security. So all of that is cleared.
Yeah, Designer ain't selling no drugs. Clearly using them, but he definitely not selling. Drop on the Clues Bombs for Designer, damn it. Glad to hear the brother got his charges dropped.
Yep.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. You want to hear something? 800-585-1051. Hit your request in right now. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter and hit me up on there. All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.